Fuck you. I fuck your shit, Mum.
Okay, welcome back to Meat for the Beast, episode 20.
Episode 20! Yeah. It's quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, second decade.
It's a milestone.
I suppose we haven't done too bad, have we, considering we've still got about 3 months until the 2-year anniversary.
That's good.
So we could potentially get, you know, a few more apps in if possible, but...
Well, we can try, you know, it depends whether you can be asked to come over here.
Yeah, we've got Skype, so I've got more Vertigo bullshit, so... And we fucked up.
Let's play this violin music for you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Low blow.
I was hoping to start off with Shitlist, if that's alright.
Shitlist.
We brushed over it a bit last episode.
I think we did. Well, yeah, we did. We totally did.
The first thing I was going to say is that I'd like... Because it became a bit lengthy and it's a new year and all that, I was going to suggest striking it off and starting again.
A whole new shit list.
Yeah, like a next generation shit list.
Yeah,
those should do one a year.
Yeah, that's good.
There's about 15 names on the fucker now, so it's a bit of a, I can't even remember off what half of them were. But I think there's one man that needs to stay on there. His crime was so severe that I don't think justice has been served yet.
Okay, who are you proposing?
Have a guess.
Fucking hell, not Stephen Hawking. Let it go.
Another year in solitary.
Shit. So does this mean Jai Courtney's coming off then?
I mean, if you want to keep him, we can keep
I'd like to keep him on, man. I've seen Terminator Genesis, and he's shit in that. And the other night, I watched Divergent for some fucking reason, and he's in that, and he's horrible, and he's just really hateful. And I've actually got one because of Divergent. I'd like to lob in Miles Teller, because he's such an odious prick in it. I almost smashed my telly up.
I don't know this guy, but he sounds like a knob.
He plays Mr. Fantastic in the new Fantastic Four.
I know what you mean.
And he's in Whiplash, and I've heard that's good. So until I see Whiplash, I'd like to put Miles Teller on the shit list, like temporarily.
He's got a pretty boy face.
I think he's got a very slappable face.
He's got that sort of face that mums would want to pinch his cheeks.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm up
but
for that.
Anyway. That's my token shit list for the start of the year. But come on, Jim, who's yours?
There's there's one guy he's currently, I keep seeing his photo everywhere. He's getting
has he rubbed you up the wrong way?
Yeah, he's just getting serious praise for doing very little, to be honest. Wasting a lot of public money and disrespecting the real first Briton in space. Helen Sharman, Sheffield lady.
I thought you were going to talk about someone doing something like, you know, serious, like some politician who's wasting public money, or some media personality. But no.
He had his. Basically, Helen Sharman went into space in about 1992, and you know, I presume women count as people, do they? I think they do.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. So surely. Surely she counts as a Briton in space, which was about 25 years ago or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's happy to coast this first Briton in space bullshit. That's the big chauvinist faux pas, big lie. And he didn't even do a good job of it. Took all that public money, had his little spacewalk, and then, there was something went wrong, and he started crying and came straight back in.
I don't see you do any better.
Well, you know, I mean,
mind you,
what a waste of time and money, and it's
you wouldn't pass the medical, would you?
Well, it's as if like, I mean, I'm not into football, but I think in football terms, it'd be like if we all celebrated the fact we lost the World Cup final. You know what I mean? It's Space War was a failure. There was so little of it, they couldn't even really broadcast it. It's like, oh, he's out, now he's in again. You know?
Shit. I didn't know
it
that.
Like, it was like a game of hide the sausage. Yeah, I mean, if it was a grandiose walk with some great footage, it would have perhaps been worth...
One pump peak.
I mean, how many million must that have cost the likes of, you know, the people of Great Britain?
I don't know, a couple hundred quid at least.
Yeah, fuck you, Tim Peake. What do you reckon?
Good lord.
We sending him down?
Well, I don't necessarily agree, but I'll defend your right to stick whoever you want on the shit list. So
it's got
to
be
fine.
It's got to be mutual consent. So you've got the right.
I don't disagree strongly enough. So yeah,
right.
I like you having your ridiculous people on the shit list. You started off well.
So we've got Stephen Hawking remains on there for his filthy crimes against Michael Keaton. throwing an extra hose down every morning.
Oh my gosh.
Hose fired at the cage. Sorry, that's a bit harsh. Jai Courtney's the guy who's doing extra time for you.
Yeah.
And who's this new guy again? Your new
Miles
guy.
Miles Teller,
cool.
And to be fair, like, Jai Courtney could find himself off the list if I don't hate him in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But I guess we're not going to find out about that till August, so...
Yeah.
Get comfy, motherfucker.
So, okay, you know, another thing I was going to bring up is more deaths. Since we last
spoke. More deaths?
Are we not, since we spoke, Bowie and Alan Rickman have gone.
Oh shit, of course, yes.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah, yeah. And today, Father Jack died.
Oh shit, yeah. I'm not sure his real name, but he was...
Frank Kelly?
Right, yeah, sounds about
right. I think that's the fella.
Another legend's passed.
Yeah.
Shit.
Crazy. So yeah, well, the Beast raises a glass, doffs a cap, in honour of those fallen badasses.
Yeah, but it like a true tourist, it prompted me to buy a bit of Bowie. I've got a bit of Bowie already, but not much, so I bought the old Ziggy Stardust album.
Oh yeah?
Which is a good listen, actually. It's worth the hype.
Good. I was always aware of David Bowie and the obvious famous songs, but I'll be honest, he never really grabbed me. Apart from Magic Dance off of Labyrinth, I enjoyed that immensely.
Yeah. I was kind of in the same boat, and then a year ago, I was dropping my mum off at Stockport Station, and she said, "Oh, what do you want for your birthday?" And behind her was this fucking advert for this new Bowie collection, and I was like, "Oh, why not that?"
Cool.
It's like, fine, I'll get you that, and. Spent pretty much the whole year listening to it. It's really, really some really impressive stuff, particularly 70s stuff. I think it seems like always a hollow way to get into an artist, but when someone's put out fucking 40 odd albums, I don't see how else you can really.
No, I think I'm with you. I think you need some starting point at least.
Yeah.
And if you like certain tracks, find out what they're off and pursue it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
I did like his more recent stuff, like the Black Star and Lazarus.
Yeah.
Fucking very eerie. But,
yeah, there was some religious dickhead saying, "Oh, it's a curse! It's a black curse! Beware if you watch it, drown yourself in prayer because it's a curse."
Jesus!
Like, get a fucking grip.
Get real.
That's like. Our friend Terry's all gold. Some guy who worked at the petrol station near his house told him off for wearing like a devil salute hoodie. Said he was messing with dark forces.
What did Terry say?
Terry's like, "Oh, shut up, you idiot," or something. And then we made a point a couple of times when we were driving past or going through it, we'd give him, shoot him the old devil sign. Some Muppet. But, yeah, so anything you want to...
Oh, well, we did it... we were talking about Star Wars last time.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. So since then, Hateful Eight, The Revenant, got those? Did you see them?
No, I've not. No, what's your reaction?
Hateful Eight's good. It's got elements of obnoxious Tarantino in there, but it's kind of odd because he made a big deal about shooting it in 70mm, which looks good for the scenery, the vistas. There's loads of beautiful, it's beautifully shot for those stuff.
Yeah.
But those bits. But much of the film is essentially a chamber piece. It's like a play, just like eight people in a room.
It sounded quite Reservoir Dogsy, which I thought boded well.
Yeah, it's got that. I suppose it's got that vibe. It's quite claustrophobic, but it just strikes me as a bit of a. I thought it might be the point, but it strikes me as a bit of a waste of a medium that can capture loads of beautiful images, and you're just using it to just do this, but. It's decent enough. It's perfectly all right. Kurt Russell's ace in it, but it's really Walton Goggins' film, I think. There's a lot to like about it, and even though it's long, it doesn't feel flabby or anything. It's got a good pace.
Okay.
Made me feel really cold.
I don't know anything about it. I know that he eats kidneys or something.
He eats all sorts of stuff, and it's pretty gross in bits. But it's just there's a bit where, well, essentially he's like a scout or a hunter, and he's leading this company who are out in the woods trying to get fur pelts sell. And he gets attacked by a bear, which is a pretty heavy scene. But he disturbs the cubs, so the bear just goes to town on him, and he's fucked. Yeah. And essentially, there comes a point where they need to leave him. And Tom Hardy is on prize dickhead form in this. He essentially leaves him for dead. So it's just Leo trying to get back to camp to exact his revenge. And it's just that journey. But it's really wonderfully shot. There's loads of... Because it was all shot using natural light, so they had to time everything to the letter. Okay. And there's loads of long shots, long takes. And there's an amazing bit where he's getting chased by some Indians, and he's on a horse, and like the camera follows him up to him mounting the horse and doesn't cut away and just carries on running, and the camera keeps looking back at the Indians and looking back at Leo, and I'm like, what the fuck was the camera mounted on at this point? And then the horse and Leo just go over a fucking hill, like the drop over a ravine, and the horse is fucked, and Leo lands in the tree, and it's like, oh shit! It's in terms of craft, it's pretty ace, but it is very simple. Not a lot happens really. My mate Scott said it might as well be a silent movie with just the odd title card in there.
Okay, sounds quite interesting then.
It is. It's really interesting.
Do you know if he got the Oscar for it?
It's happening tonight, I think, isn't it?
All right. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Actually, I got another name drop because our friend Kendall, his good lady Elizabeth, I think she might be doing the titles again for the Oscars.
Oh, blimey!
Yeah. Good to know we've got successful friends, even though. Kind of failures. that's a bit harsh to both of us, I think. But
another one. It's fairly new. Gaspar Noé's Love. Did you see that? Hear about it?
I watched the opening scene. Yeah, it's just quite interesting.
It's by the guy who did Irreversible and Enter the Void, both of which are pretty badass, but they're heavy going.
Oh, is that Enter the Void? Is that the climbing guy film?
No, that's Touching the Void.
Touching the Void, of course, yeah.
Up a mountain, no bog roll, touching the cloth.
Exactly. And that's just a fucking 999 reconstruction. I didn't care for that at all.
he lives behind my mum, coincidentally.
Does he?
Because he's a climber and lives in Sheffield. And he bought basically two houses behind my mum's and turned them into one house. He kind of constructed his own mini, you know, he made it a big ass house by putting two cottages together. So
badass.
Aye. Apparently he likes to smoke a joint in his jacuzzi, according to my mum. it's quite funny. He sounds like he comes round to my mum's to get flower cuttings and stuff, and his cat's like always hanging out in my mum's place. And so is that good? Do you like it?
It's a bit of an injurious test. It's quite bleak. It's not as bleak as Nymphomaniac, I didn't think.
Right.
But it's quite compelling. And I think it's controversial for all the cock in it, and it's unsimulated sex. And there is a bit. I mean, it was shot in 3D as well. Yeah. So there is a bit where you're looking. It's just a close up on the end of a cock being wanked off, and you're looking straight down the barrel of it, and the jizz just goes total right into the camera. So I can imagine being in the cinema with some 3D glasses on, flinching a bit at that.
When it gets to that level, you sort of think, it's just porn, isn't it? Really, I don't know if it's maybe not. That's maybe generalist.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah, because if like porn's got a purpose. If anyone's watching films like Love and Nymphomaniac to fucking beat one off to, you've got some problems. Do you know what I mean?
Irreversible. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I think it was quite interesting because I had a pal stay in with me. He came in. He was out and he came in for the last half hour of it. And he's like, oh, just watch the rest of it. It's fine. I'm like, okay, good. And I just sat here and I felt kind of. I think he was quite uncomfortable. I was completely at ease seeing like people playing with cocks and stuff. And he's like, "This is a bit weird." I'm like, "Just get over it, man. Stop being so suburban." And I wasn't sure whether I'd become desensitized to seeing that, or whether it was just my modern liberal views, and that I'm quite mature. There's nothing funny about willies.
Yeah, maybe I might give that a go.
It's decent, but it's not something you'd want to watch with your mum. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't strike me as that. my friend Anna, who went to school with, she once told me she'd. It was around that time Tarantino stuff was in, and Harvey Keitel was considered pretty cool because of Reservoir Dogs, and she rented out Bad Lieutenant without realising what it's like. Watched it with her mum. Said she had to turn it off at the sort of wanking scene.
God, it's so depressing.
That's a grim scene. I like the worst bit about it is after he's spewed his obscenities, it doesn't even like say you can go now or pat the car. He just kind of stumbles away.
Yeah,
with his shame.
It's dreadful.
That's the most depressing bit in the whole film for me. Just thought, oh Jesus Christ. Hey mate, we've had our biggest feedback yet.
Oh yeah,
which is good news.
Okay,
but the bad news is he's still negative. It's well, I'm partly responsible for this because it's our friend. It's James Wainwright, who is the drummer in sensational rock act Chimera, Sheffield rock band that sadly no longer around. But
oh, so that's sensational, they don't exist anymore. Oh. Come on.
I retract that straight away. They were excellent. James is a massive Star Wars fan, and and he was, I think we put his nose out slightly that we gave New Hope a bit of a hard time.
Right.
We were both a bit blasé about it. And to be fair, you went the extra mile and really put the boot in. And so I was like, oh, so he had a sort of little jovial, you know, a jovial little, oh, what were you saying there, you fool, and stuff. And I was like, oh, give us some proper feedback. But I kind of forgot that. I listened back to the episode afterwards, realised that I was actually defending A New Hope, saying it's quite good. And I watched it again recently, actually, and it's I'd raise it to being my second favourite Star Wars film. I think it deserves the hype. I think it's better than Jedi for me. Yeah, rewatch it. Just as soon as you get past that, all that Mos Eisley CG crap, it gets a lot better. But anyway, so James sent this feedback, and I was kind of expecting it to be about us both, but because you were the one hitting The New Hope the hardest, it's mainly the McVeigh takedown, I'm afraid.
Holy shit!
So, are you ready for this?
Come on.
Well, it's addressed to the Beast, so. Do you want me to read it out in bits, or shall I just go for the whole thing? Or do you want to?
I'll tell you what, read it out in bits throughout the episode. Okay. Just pepper it with abuse towards me.
It came right. It's in 1, 2, 3, 4. It's in 4 paragraphs. Okay.
Jesus.
So, dear Beast, so it's addressed to both of us. I'm a big fan of the show, and listen every time you can get every time you can get your asses in gear and release an episode.
That's very nice.
Yeah, I particularly enjoy the Star Wars review show, but feel I must take umbrage with some of the so-called opinions expressed by the scruffy nerf herder, McVeigh. Or to put it another way, what the fucking fuck is that fucking idiot fucking on about? So, okay.
Nice
right.
one.
And I can tell there was genuine. Some of that sounds pretty sincere, to be honest. Okay.
Shit.
Right, next paragraph. So now I accept I'm not as young as I once was, as once I was, halfway to 68 now, and my hearing can sometimes play tricks on me. But did I really just hear that Lancastrian buffoon give modest praise to episode 2 and then slag off A New Hope? Tell me I didn't really hear that. Please God, tell me.
Oh, you can rewind.
Reassure me, I beg you, that this didn't happen. Any reaction to that?
Stand by my opinions, Jim.
Okay. Right, next paragraph. Just to get semi-serious for a moment, if I may, A New Hope is literally, capital letters, the perfect film, and without doubt the greatest piece of work ever committed to celluloid. This, Mr. McVeigh, is not up for debate. It just isn't. While I accept everyone has a right to their opinion, I'm afraid yours is wrong. Not taking into account the legacy and influence the film had and continues to have, A New Hope is an outstanding blend of myth, action, fantasy, sci-fi, comedy, and even romance.
Incest.
Yeah, that's true. For its time, the effects were groundbreaking, and for the most part, they still hold up today. The original version, not the god-awful special editions and everything George Lucas pissed about with thereafter, which I think we could both agree with. It's darker than it appears on the surface, which I'd agree with, having just rewatched it, but still appeals to young kids and grown-ups alike, and the storytelling is at the same time revolutionary and classic. It is a modern-day fairy tale, jam-packed with quotable lines and iconic scenes that anything that came before... Sorry. It's a modern-day fairy tale, jam-packed with more quotable lines and iconic scenes than anything that came before or has come since. It even manages to get two charred corpses into a U-rated film. In short, it is perfect. So, any reactions?
Strong words.
One more paragraph when you're ready.
I haven't got a beef with it, like the craft, but I thought it was kind of, my opinion on New Hope kind of was born out of trying to rank them in an order of preference in terms of what I enjoyed more.
Yeah, I couldn't get
So I'm not wailing on episode on New Hope saying that it's a bag of shit. If I did, then I'll kind of modify that.
I think it's
because it's not shit, but I just think it gets too much love than it deserves.
I think
go on.
Sorry. I think it was partly that the last time we recorded, we were both pretty pissed and in a jovial mood, and
that's true.
I think there was probably a lot of tomfoolery going on and winding each other up to some extent.
Yeah.
Anyway, final paragraph. With this in mind, I formally demand an official retraction of the shite McVeigh came out with in your last episode. Specifically, any negative comments made towards A New Hope. For all that is good and true in this world, I implore him to pack in talking out of his hut-sized arse and set the record straight. The beast's credibility hangs by a thread looser than Mon Mothma's chuff. Please sort out this mess before it's too late. Help me, the beast. You're my only hope. James. Oh. That was James Wainwright. There you go. Oh. So thanks for that, James.
Yeah, thanks, James. And, I appreciate the input.
I'm not in the shelf grit. It's a great one.
All right, fine. If I'll make a retraction. I'm not apologising, but I'll make a retraction.
Okay, cool.
Retracted. There you go.
Hey, good man. I never thought I'd see, McVeigh turn around.
Well, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
As I say, it was only trying to rank them in order. And I just preferred episode 2 to episode 4. That's just my taste, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people like putting pineapple on a pizza, and I'd say that's fucking the devil's work. So I'm so happy for it to continue. Do you know what I mean?
That's interesting, that. That's, yeah, I've been... I quite like a bit of a Hawaiian.
What?
Isn't it ham and pineapple, the Hawaiian?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Lovely.
Sorry. Indie pups.
On a Star Wars note, I've been reading a couple of the new Marvel Star Wars books.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm really getting into, actually. Yeah.
I just thought didn't Dark Horse used to do the Star Wars ones?
Yeah, I actually ended up rereading one of them as well. It was. They kicked it off with Dark Empire,
yeah,
which got a few sequels, and it was a really good run. Dark Empire it's quite surreal seeing it now because it's at the point where most people stopped giving a shit about Star Wars. It was like early 90s, when the hype had died down a bit. It was a bit more of a niche thing at that point, I think, and then it's quite an indie kind of looking Star Wars book in a good way. Like, it's Cam Kennedy, I think, drew it. I think that's his name. He was like an old 2000 AD guy with quite a weird, unusual kind of colour schemes, and it's a bit hard to describe, but it almost looks a bit like street art in a weird way. Yeah, like not really like Marfood stuff, but elements of street art about it, and it was a really good book, actually. But the only down is they, rather than creating a new villain, they resurrect the Emperor as a kind of clone, so that, which is a bit of a shit concept, but apart from that, everything else was pretty decent, really. And Skywalker goes darker in it.
Cool. Yeah, it's just because obviously, like, Marvel. Disney bought Marvel and Lucas and Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I guess now they can buddy up with Marvel. They've got like Marvel's staff at their disposal in terms of making comics with some badass teams. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That they might not have been able to do with Dark Horse.
Yeah, they seem to be building this whole this whole all-inclusive experience, like it's all going to be part of the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
It's a total reboot. Yeah, one funny thing, speaking of James Wainwright, he pointed me out that there used to be this kind of shit Green Rabbit in the old Marvel Star Wars books, and so some joker had done this alternative, they get cover variants these days, and
yeah,
some joker had done this cover variant of the Green Rabbit showing up and all the Star Wars characters pretending they weren't in, and he's like knocking on the door going, I can fucking hear you breathing in there.
Who the hell is this Green Rabbit?
I forget. I can't remember his name, but it's just an ill-advised looking alien bloke.
Shit.
That is basically just a green. You know, in the same way Max Rebo's just a blue elephant.
Right.
It's like a rat of ideas, just use an animal, change the colour.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it was those old Marvel Star Wars comics where the Kit Fisto sort of look comes from, because
right.
I remember some guy looked a lot like Kit Fisto minus the dreads. There was a water world.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure, yeah. There you go. But yeah, but so I read the Vader book, which is very enjoyable, and it kind of, obviously, you experience things from Vader's point of view, which is quite unique, I thought.
Right.
Like, they've all got an opening crawl at the start, as if you're watching, another, you know, as if it's very cinematic. And the crawl for the Vader one's written in a sympathetic way to the Empire. It says things like, following the destruction of the Death Star and... you know, an insult to the rightful rule of the Empire.
Fine.
So I thought it was very clever. I really liked that, and I think they've started it off with because they want to get the film crown involved. They've made the books look very a lot like the people involved, like a lot like the actual actors.
Right.
And. To some extent, that's not always good, because then it can end up looking like pretty pictures rather than telling a good story, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think it might not make sense to non-comic people, but it's like Dark Empire, some of the likenesses are really out, but somehow you can still tell it's Han Solo, and it's such a kind of narrative flow, you can kind of forgive it, and it almost kind of aids it.
I think there's something to be said for that, like Miami Vice remix.
Yeah.
Like, Crockett and Tubbs look nothing like Don Johnson and Philip Duda, but
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's because they're the characters, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as long as you've got a basic something common, one guy's wearing a white suit, the other guy's wearing a blue suit, and one's black, one's white, then you're good to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd recommend the Star Wars books if you've got any vouchers to spend or whatever. And I got
when's it set?
It's immediately after that. Well, like, I suppose a few days after that award ceremony at the end of the first Star Wars, A New Hope.
Oh, right.
Because Luke's wearing that jacket he has on at the end.
Right.
And there's like a main book which seems to be, I think in theory you could just buy that and follow the story, but the other books generally seem to be kind of interconnected with it, but you don't necessarily need to read them. But then it's a little, I mean, I must admit, it would be nice just to be able to follow the thing, and it's almost a bit annoying there's now several books involved. But
yeah,
I could, like, having read the Vader one, I can sort of see why they've done that. But they're doing a really nice job of it. I really like it.
So is it one ongoing series, or is there like Star Wars Vader and Star Wars Skywalker? Are they different, like, different titles within this?
Yeah, you've got the main books just called Star Wars, and then
right.
The Vader one is its own Vader series, and as with, got a Leia one as well,
right?
And they're bringing out a Lando and a Chewie one, but I think they might be other, like, unconnected to the main book, but it's like it's almost like the Star Wars books and the mothership, basically,
right?
And then these are like they're all like the other books seem like your side project kind of jobbies,
right?
So which I guess makes it, you know, as long as you've got the main book, you can dip in and out of the others, I suppose. But if you're a bit of a completist like us, I think, then it's going to hit your pocket pretty hard if you want to get them all.
Shit.
Hit them clams.
Oh, sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's worth the peep, old friend. Worth the peep.
Oh, we should probably explain. I just thought about our delay, why we're delayed. We planned... we had a day out, didn't we? First time
we went
to the cinema, you and me.
Yeah, it was
me and you.
Our first successful... it wasn't successful, though, was it? Because we ended up not recording.
Exactly, yeah. You made me eat a pound of pick and mix. I had a fucking sugar crash. We got drunk. So, yeah.
So we went to see Deadpool.
We did.
Which is all right. I quite enjoyed it.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I guess it's been out long enough now. It's the kind of film that it kind of shouldn't really exist in today's studio system. It's just I can't believe that they got away with what they did, and it's quite it's a good feeling. I think it's quite encouraging that, because it's like superhero films kind of stagnating a bit. This is like not so much a breath of fresh air, but it's a proper like a kick in the dick, and it's like wake up, sort yourself out.
I think it's changing the game already, because my friend Jay was telling me, I think the Wolverine was the first one to get a higher rated Blu-ray release.
Right.
But that was just announced as going to be a kind of more adult Batman coming out.
Yes.
You know, after the film's been and gone at the cinema, and I thought that was pretty cool. Good. I mean, fucking great news, I thought.
Definitely. Yeah.
It seems. Sorry, go on.
No, they've said that it's been rated R for the home video release. So it's already, if that's like a thing from the MPAA in America, it would like they're like the BBFC, and if that's already gone through their thing, it's like this is for the home video version. It's already been rated R. Then it seems like it's a bit more than a rumor. Do you know what I mean?
I really like the idea of Snyder shooting Batman. You know, he's after the I know Watchmen wasn't a big commercial success, but I think for the most part critically I think it did pretty well, and I think
the punters dug it. I don't know anyone who's got beef with the Watchmen.
K-Dog had issues.
Did he?
Yeah, I don't think he was into that big blue dick. I don't think he was ready for that.
Oh, me think he doth protest too much.
I can understand why the outsider might not get Dr. Manhattan. But he's a great character.
Yeah. But I don't know if you read, there was a rumour a while ago that the next, it's supposed to be Hugh Jackman's final outing as Wolverine is going to be Old Man Logan.
Shit. I mean, if they do a Deadpool on that, that'd be worth checking out. The only worry is it's hard to see how, I mean... It's a heavy, heavy book, so I don't know how much justice they could give it, but Hugh Jackson's got a lot of clout these days, hasn't he? So if he wants to bow out with a great one, then it's certainly the one he should do.
Yeah, I think the only tricky aspect is going to be... I've not read Old Man Logan, but what I gather is that he's got to help a blind Hawkeye across country or whatever.
That's the most...
What?
I think that undersells an amazing piece of art, literature, whatever. But, you know, that's the worst bit of underselling I've ever heard, mate. He has to help a blind bloke cross the country. If I was listening and didn't know what it was all about, I'd be like, fuck that shit. Give that a wipe first. Yeah, sorry, mate. But it's essentially for, like, if the non-comic people, you might hear Batman fans bang on about the Dark Knight Returns, which was like the, you know, the Batman Bible for your darker Batman era.
Mm.
And it's Wolverine's equivalent of that, I guess.
Right.
Because he's an old man in it. And yeah, there is. He does do what you describe, James, but. You know.
I know this model.
It's not like a help. It's not like the Help the Aged advert that I think you've just envisioned.
Care in the community. Go see a Wolverine.
Yeah.
No, but the issue that they're going to have is that Fox have got the rights to Wolverine, whereas the likes of Hawkeye and Hulk and Kingpin, they're all with Marvel. They're all tied up with Marvel. So.
All right. Okay.
So I'm not 100% sure how they can pull it off, unless they can just take a certain element. I know there was rumours that instead of him transporting or helping Hawkeye, he could be helping Professor X, and I think Patrick Stewart might have said that he's doing another one. So
okay.
It's all rumours at the minute though, but I think that's a nice idea, and if Hugh Jackman wants to bow out on it, it sounds like a good one to go out on.
Yeah, I mean I'd certainly go and see it. Sorry, just a sec. You all right? Have a good night kiss. Oh, I'm in the middle of recording, is that right? Love you. Give us a kiss. Give us a kiss. Go and say hello to the audience. And say hello. Hello to James.
Hello. You all right?
Hello, James. Say hello.
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 Say it louder.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, bless
you. Off to bed.
I've got to bed, you know.
Yeah, off to bed.
Good one.
Good night. Night, night.
Good night.
Good night.
Sorry, mate.
Oh, it's all right.
Just bursted in the room.
There's Mrs. Connolly with Babby.
Oh, look at her, look at her. The Jarvis Hill, well. What we are running.
Never tire of that.
So we're on about Wolverine. Fuck, I had something to say. I'm not going to ruin the book for anybody, but basically the whole premise of the book is that it's the future. He's given up being Wolverine because of some atrocity that he accidentally was involved in. So he's basically like, you know, that Clint Eastwood film Unforgiven.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Okay, it's pretty much like that. It's like a retired Wolverine trying to keep his head down.
Right.
And there's a bunch of dickheads making it hard for him to do so, and that the entire book is him trying not to, you know, be what we know he is.
Yeah.
And he insists everybody calls him Logan.
Yeah,
and you know at some point, and he won't pop his claws, so which kind of makes you think, oh, how would that work? But it works beautifully because they don't pop till very late on in the book, and
you
kind of know shit's going to go down, but you don't know how it's going to play out, and when it does, it's just fucking beautiful. It's carnage. It's the Wolverine Berserker Rage times 100.
Sweet. It sounds like something I need to read.
Yeah, there's no. It just becomes an animal by the end. Yeah, he unleashes the beast in a big way, and he's got, you know, 30 years of pent up Wolverine to get out. Yeah, there's this. Yeah, so I'll have to lend you that. You know.
That sounds good.
And then next time you move, you can lose it like my copy of Superior.
I haven't lost it. It's just underneath Hawkeye. I've lost it. I know exactly where it is. Shit.
Well, I'll lend you that. Definite.
Cool, man.
Yeah. So, have you been reading anything good? Anything?
No. I'm just reading. I'm reading a book by Matt Haig called The Humans, and it's pretty interesting. It's about this essentially a university professor. He's been replaced by an alien who looks exactly and sounds like him, but he starts the book like naked, wandering through the town. He comes out of the countryside or whatever, and he's making his way to town, and it's him essentially looking at humanity from an alien's perspective. And it's got some decent stuff. And it's essentially, he's been sent to stop, like, this professor has actually cracked some mathematical theory, and these aliens think that if word gets out about this theory, then humans are going to essentially develop awesome technology and they'll be spacefaring, and these aliens don't want that to happen. Yeah. So they send this dude down to replace him and stop him spreading the thing. But in the process of it, he starts seeing the benefits of humanity. It's quite interesting.
That sounds cool. That sounds a little bit like premise behind Under the Skin.
Yeah, it's got that vibe. I think something on the back says it's like a combination of The Man Who Fell to Earth and The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which I've never read. But it's all right. It's not bad at all.
Of course, you like a bit of dogging at night time, don't you?
Who doesn't, eh? Go up!
Secret's out. So that's a book rather than a graphic novel.
It's a book, yeah.
Yeah, graphic novels too below you now, are they?
Right. No, man! I'm just having a look at something else.
Now you got your 10 copies of Nightwing before you change your suit.
Shit.
I've got something else for you.
What?
You want it? It's, I had a little written rant to you the other day, and I wouldn't mind vocalising it. It was kind of in general. It's not a shit list thing, but I just wanted to have a little rant and a moan. But just belligerent internet twats.
Oh, yes, arseholes.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
The story I've got. Well, I mean, there's different examples of it. I mean, you know, of course, when the Paris attacks happen, suddenly the other fucking Professor Yaffles come out of the woodwork to tell you, oh, you shouldn't be feeling bad about this when, you know, there was a massacre in Syria or there was a massacre somewhere else. It's fair enough, but it's not like they post all that shit all the time, is it? Or
exactly.
They just sort of saw it on the, I don't know. But so that's always frustrating, but there was one that really got me when Bowie died. Basically, it seems like older celebs or whatever, kind of, there's a lot of noncy tales and that kind of thing now, aren't there?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I think there's a certain crowd that revel in tearing down heroes.
I agree. Yeah.
And which, fair enough, if it's, you know, Jimmy Savile's case, I mean, he had it coming, but, you know, it's basically accusations that have never been proven and subjective arguments and on some. Anyway, so Bowie died, and within a couple of hours of the announcement, I noticed this girl, half new on Facebook, she'd basically straight away, like, okay, Bowie, Google search Bowie, rape, paedophilia, all this stuff, and then she found some old article, which was dated about 2009, which, from what I briefly read of it, it amounted to that Bowie had rough sex with a virgin, and a bit out of order, but may or may not have happened, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so she chose to post it the day he died, and said, and the headline was something, what she wrote was basically, I know that his music means a lot to some people, but let's not forget this kind of these kind of accusations or whatever.
Oh, what an arsehole.
I know, revelations, I think she put it as. And it's like, well, okay, but you didn't even forget, but like, you didn't even know them till about 10 minutes ago when the man's death prompted you to Google
I think there was a similar thing when John Peel died. There was a woman who came out saying that she had underage sex with him, but like then admitted that it was consensual, and it was like she was just coming up to being 16 or something.
Right.
And that's a bit different between that and what Jimmy Savile was doing. Do you know what I mean? I
think it's fair to say a 15-year-old girl can look like a 25-year-old woman in the right situation. Not that.
Yeah.
Not. like to think I've never made that error. But
well, wait till you hit the big time and then die. I'm pretty sure some cunt will come out of the woodwork.
Oh, that's uncanny.
Never forget.
Wank me off behind a skip. When I was only 12. Sorry. I saw this horrible vegetarian sketch where, not sketch, a stand-up where he was talking about going back in time and meeting himself, and right. then trying to persuade his younger self to wank him off with his little unwrinkled hands kind of thing. This horrible kind of nonsense reenactment, but because it's himself he's doing it to, he could get away with it.
Yeah.
They're my own hands. It's horrible. Ridiculous. But yeah, just belligerent. Just
I hate those assholes who like oh yeah, big deal. Boy's died or Rickman's died. Why is everyone getting so upset? It's not like you knew him. It's not like you knew him, does it? Like, my mum died or my gran died and, you know, didn't get this amount of grief. And well, maybe if your mum did anything fucking worthwhile, we might give a shit.
Because they're fucking nobody, that's why.
Exactly.
Fuck's sake. Should have written. I'm glad. I'm glad she's dead.
Fuck you. I fuck your shit, mum.
Shit.
Oh man. Low blows.
Beast
is vengeful this evening.
I just feel like, say with that Paris massacre, I just feel like, say like one guy I knew who was, you know, always a bit of a knob, and he lives in Paris, and the second it was announced he felt the urge to sign up for one of these basically I'm not dead things, which is a bit of a new thing.
An I'm not dead thing?
It's like, because he lives in Paris, he'd written, don't worry, I'm safe. It's like, I wasn't that worried, to be honest, mate.
But, right.
sounds a bit mean, but it didn't cross my mind that in a small club bombing, someone I know who lives in a huge metropolis might have been there, because it's just, why would I think that? It's just... Anyway, but then, so he's done, I think, quite a corny, inappropriate thing, I reckon, regarding the massacre. I thought that was a weird thing to do and kind of a bit disrespectful. You know, not much, but just a bit. But then, I think 2 days later, after giving himself some, I guess... Don't worry about me, I'm okay, this mask is terrible. And he started sharing those posts about, but what about Timmy O'Toole fell down the well and hurt his head, in Bognor Regis or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What about Timmy O'Toole?
Fucking poor Timmy.
Yeah, so, and then it prompted me to delete him, so yeah, I don't ever want to see or hear from this man again.
Who was it? You can mute it out or bleep it. Who was it? That's that right prick.
Yeah.
He's got a right prick face.
Yeah.
Dick.
He's up there with dead eyed.
He got them cold. I got them cold dead eyes.
I got some cold dead eyes, man.
Fucking hell. You keeping this in, right? You're just going to bleep out the names.
Yeah, this is staying. This is staying. I might not even bleep the names out. Fuck those guys.
Bloody hell. So, yeah, those dickheads. Those dickheads need to shut the... Have a coke and a smile and a shut the fuck up.
Yeah, pair of twats. get some live eyes.
We started out... Dead and them dead ones, motherfucker.
This is not cool, man. We're just disrespecting some dude that no one knows. Trust us, listeners. This guy's he's not that bad. But the first dick guy's a dick, anyway. Yeah. The Paris twat.
What have you got for me, McVeigh?
What do you mean?
Got any Any topics you'd like to discuss?
No, I thought I'd kick things off with films I've seen, which is a rarity.
Well, that Trespass, do you remember?
Yeah, that was part of our Deadpool podcasting derailment day.
Instead of podcasting, we ended up watching Trespass, the 92 version, not some shitty, some other shitty film called Trespass in there.
Wasn't it fucking Nicolas Cage or some shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 92 Walter Hill beast. I'd never seen as a youth, and I think if I had seen it then, I'm pretty sure it still stands up because it's friggin' ace.
Yeah, it's aged very well, I thought.
Absolutely, excellent cast. Ice's cube tea.
Especially that dude in the kind of dangerous era Michael Jackson blazer.
Yeah.
Gold lapels and stuff.
I quite like that Raymond fella with his pimp suit driving a Jag.
Yeah. I remember him, the same actor was in some Tom Selleck film where he's giving Selleck a hard time in prison.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know the actor's name, but Selleck ends up fucking shanking him in the bogs.
That's what you get.
Pretty grim scene.
Shit.
Yeah, he wanted to make Selleck his white piece of chicken. as I recall.
Did Selleck have a tash or no tash?
Yeah, tash, yeah.
Excellent.
Got a real pretty mouth.
Crikey.
Trespass. So, what's his name? Hudson from Aliens. Bill Paxton.
Yeah, he's good. And also, in a rare bit of rarity, not playing a dickhead.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of the level-headed one.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, the dickhead he's with... he was kind of right in some ways, I think.
Yeah.
If you watch it, like watching it again, I kind of realise pretty much everything he does, other than like they should have killed that junkie guy. Sorry, we're giving a film away here, but
it's a 20-odd-year-old film. Spoiler alert is off.
Yeah, basically, Paxton basically fucks it up. Like, because you also wonder. Because essentially they're hidden in a little room with a secure door, and the gangster guys never really know they're there until they come out of the room and accidentally reveal. Paxton reveals himself, and if he hadn't have done that, they could have just said, "Oh, keep your head down for a couple of hours, let these fucking guys do their gangster shit, and then we'll get the gold and go."
Exactly.
That's what I would have done.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't know. It's the right film. I think also in the same week I'd watched Last Man Standing, also by Walter Hill, and that's pretty ace. It's kind of not. Is it Seven Samurai? That's Magnificent Seven, isn't it? Akira Kurosawa's either Sanjuro or something. That was the inspiration for Fistful of Dollars. In turn was inspiration for Last Man Standing. Lone gunslinger wanders into town and pits off two rival gangs against each other, and it's pretty decent. Last Man Standing, it's got an awesome Christopher Walken performance in it.
So that's the Bruce Willis.
Yeah
cool. I've never seen it.
No, it's great. Well worth your time.
From your description, is that, did you say that's based on the Clint film?
Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I thought
The same film. Well, yeah. It's not the same film, but yeah, it's a fine tale worth retelling, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know how Bruce Willis stands up to Clint, though, to be honest. Especially Glory Days Clint. Albeit badly dubbed.
this is Glory Days Bruce Willis when he gave a shit. So it's kind of all right. Speaking of Glory Days, Clint, I've been watching High Plains Drifter. Have you seen that?
High Plains, that's my favourite Western, actually. It's pretty horrible.
It's fucking mental. I've been watching it and I keep nodding off, so I'm watching it in like 20-minute chunks at night before I go to bed. It's just ridiculous. Like, he puts that midget in charge. As soon as he's killed those guys at the start, he goes and rapes that woman, and then she comes and has a go at him, and the midget's like, "Oh, maybe she's pissed off you didn't go back for more." I'm like, what the f-? this is a bit harsh.
Yeah, it's a kind of film that I don't think would get made anymore. It's a proper... I think he directed it.
Yes, he did, yeah.
It makes you think... I think it... yeah. There's a lot of... When, you know, you lent me the... what's it called? Preacher.
Yeah.
A lot of that character reminds me of Saint of Killers.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which I'm really hoping they do the Saint of Killers justice when that series starts. Because that's getting a TV conversion, isn't it?
Yeah. It's... What's the guy who's playing Preacher? Is it the guy who played Tony Stark's dad in Captain America?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I'm just having a look.
And Cassidy is, I think, fucking Eli Dingle.
Yeah, that's right. It's that guy from This Is England, isn't it? And that.
Joe Gilgan.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that might work, actually. It could work. I mean, he doesn't look anything like David Bowie, but I can live with that.
Yeah.
Arseface is what I'm looking forward to.
Arseface, Jesus.
I tell you, I'm just Googling his name, but I tell you who would be a fucking kick-ass... Saint of Killers. Let me just find him.
Holy shit. Okay.
Stephen McHattie. You know, Night Owl. The old Night Owl.
Oh, yeah. In Watford. Yeah, yeah.
I think he'd be a badass Saint of Killers.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. Or, I think Lance Henriksen's probably too old for it now. But, or even Jackie Earle Haley. He'd be a good Saint of Killers.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't know if he's tall enough. I suppose
got a real... Go on, sorry.
I suppose if you sat on a horse, it certainly makes you a bit taller, doesn't it?
True. I've got a real hetero boner for Lance Henriksen.
Yeah.
I can go with that.
Yeah. It's kind of like... Stephen McHattie's like the Oasis to Lance Henriksen's Stone Roses, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's a good analogy, Jim.
And by that, I'm not trying to diss. I have nothing against either of those bands, you know, especially the Roses. So I wasn't intended as any sort of Oasis diss.
Didn't come across like that.
Good. Glad about that. I'm definitely looking forward to that, mate.
Yeah, definitely looking. Yeah, I don't know when it's going to wear though, but should be sweet.
And I watched your copy of Christine.
Oh, yes.
Which, I watched it and returned it. I don't know if that concept's ever
come
into your life.
I forgot yours. I've got Watchmen, haven't I? And a couple of your books.
Well, let me... Do you want to hear my list? I've got a little list of stuff I went out.
Okay.
So I'm a bit, I'm a bit OCD.
I know.
Let me have a quick look. It's all you. Hang on. Fucking hell. Where's this fucking list gone?
Oh.
Stuff lent out. Here we go. Hawkeye, Book 1, McVeigh.
Yeah.
Superior, McVeigh.
Yeah.
Black Hole, McVeigh, to be fair. Yeah. Just borrowed that. Did you watch it yet?
No. Not a chance.
Oh, mate, you've so got to watch that.
I might watch it tonight.
Do it. Just do it for the ending. And it's just real sense of what's the word? Like real sense of menace throughout from the opening from the opening scenes, and it just increases throughout until just really totally bizarre end scene that is the best thing about the film for me.
Right.
It's kind of ridiculous but quite disturbing as well.
Sounds good.
Once Upon a Time in the West, which I'm actually...
Yes?
I was going to say you can have it.
Why?
Cause, that's very nice, yeah. Because you're a Clench man. And I think a Clench man should own that shit.
Oh, you're a good man, Jim. You have to give me a copy of that.
Yeah, it's yours. I probably wasn't going to watch it loads, so it's a great film, though. Once Upon... That's what it's called, isn't it?
Once Upon a Time in the West, yeah. I've watched most of it. It's a long bugger.
Yeah. It's a bit of an epic. And Watchmen.
Yes.
Which, I actually wouldn't mind getting that back soon, so because you know the new Bat Superman film coming out. There you go.
I will get these back to you as soon as I can, Jim. Thank you for publishing, telling everyone, all our listeners, about the shit of yours that I've got.
There was one thing you said last episode. I was listening back to it the other day, and who's the guy who wrote American Psycho again? Is it Bret Easton Ellis? Yeah. You were kind of saying, over Christmas your exploits are like, it's as if they've been written by Bret Easton Ellis. And I was kind of thinking about that statement. And I was thinking, if his books were about, like McVeigh goes down the Lascar with Hal, has a few beers, bundles Hal into a taxi at the end of the night and goes home and has a wank. I'm not totally convinced he'd be living in his Hollywood mansion, to be honest.
No, that's true.
Is that a fair statement, or don't know? Sorry, that's quite weird. Personal diss there.
Thanks for your comeback. I acknowledge your response.
It was simply
in reference to my festive season from essentially the start of January or December.
Yeah.
I just seem to be either working on hangovers and getting up to all sorts of unsavoury stuff. Not as bad as the content of Bret Easton Ellis' novels.
But you not put a coat hanger up anyone's arse?
No, I didn't. No, at least I don't remember.
Just your own.
You dickhead. Thanks.
I was going to say, I was chatting to Hal recently, was saying we'll get Hal on again because he's starting a new pod.
Yes, he is, yeah. He's done some music as well. He's been using this program called Mixcraft. And he was singing its praises in terms of actually, it might be worth. I've got a copy of it, I've not used it yet, but Hal said that it might be. He said that in the way that you are using Audacity to edit the podcast together.
Yeah.
He said that it's kind of by taking that approach, it's like using Photoshop to make a magazine, is what he said.
Right.
He said that Mixcraft is a lot more straightforward.
Almost sounds like he was making fun of me there.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. Take it up with him.
It's not like we never said anything about it. I suppose giving him a few disses, haven't we, over the years?
Exactly.
But speaking of friends podcasts, our mate Joe Field, who our podcast name kind of comes from, Joe. He's the one who put Meat for the Beast in your head.
Yeah.
He started a pod called Mostly Off Topic.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is on WordPress.
Okay.
I've not listened to it yet, but it looks like it's mainly about it's quite into his fantasy games, isn't he? And which I don't know much about, but I'd be interested to hear. I imagine they'll probably make it quite interesting.
I didn't know that. Well, when they're up and running, we can certainly share some pod business.
Yeah, because of course you lot had a little fantasy game one night and never invited me.
little Jimmy crying on his own. Can Jimmy come out to play? No. Gotta wipe this kid's bum.
I know, like your little private cinema viewings for Hal and Scott.
Yeah.
I've got
a small place. I haven't got space to accommodate.
I can bring a fish or a bowl of porridge around if you want, if it gets me in the door.
Have a fish, please.
Sorry, a bit of
consider yourself invited to the next one.
Scottish and racist Grimsby racism there.
Oh shit, yeah, I didn't even pick up on that. You didn't need to explain that. But yeah, you're a terrible person.
So, alright, man.
I'm going to go, man. Yeah, I want my tea. Right. I've got chicken to eat.
Okay, that's where our connection died, so I'll say cheerio from me and Mr. McVeigh, who I hear had a lovely chicken. the podcast, the Friends podcast we were talking about, is called Defcast, spelled D-E-F cast, which is now on the iTunes store, so check that out and you can hear more of the Grimsby Lantern, who was on the Batman specials we did last year. Finally, I'm going to end with a song by a wonderful man. It's called Chris, but his stage name is Mr. Vantastic. So it's V-A-N and Tastic, spelt with a K on the end. Now, Chris is up in... he's a theatrical chap. He's living up in Edinburgh. He's from America originally. And he's a cool guy with a lot of talent. I met him on a kind of stag-do, hen-do type thing a few years ago. And he was brave enough to... He accepted a challenge I gave him to stand in the middle of the road, because he'd bought this Gandalf-like staff because he was working in a castle at the time as an actor. And I challenged him to stand in the middle of the road and stop cars in a Gandalf style when we were both pretty pissed. And he did it, to his credit, and it was very funny. Even the people in the car found it funny. And it caused a girl who was sat with us to literally run down the street in embarrassment, which I thought was great. So well done for that, Chris. So this is one of Chris's own songs. It's called Tired Journey, and again by Vantastic with a K at the end. And I hope you'll check him out. He's on Facebook and no doubt SoundCloud. And if you live in Edinburgh, go and track him down and give him a slap on the head. Cheers. Thank you.
Pack my days, walk for weeks, I ain't fed. Pack my bags, walk for weeks, I ain't slept. I said, oh, Lord knows I'm tired. I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home. I said, I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home. One time now, I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home. I said, I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home again. And one last one, and here's how it goes. It's been days, it's been weeks, it's been years. When I cried, the dust dried out my tears. I said, oh, Lord knows I'm tired. I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home. I said, I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home. I said, I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home. I don't know what you heard, but I'm on my way home again. I said, I don't know, I'm crying, but I'm home again. I said, Lord, I know I'm crying, but it's because I'm home again. I said, oh, Lord, I know I'm dying, but I'm finally home again. Lord, I know I'm dying, but I